really even through all of it is great. And I mean, that doesn't even touch the Apostle Paul coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. But the foundation of the church, so much of it is seen in Acts chapter 1, right on through Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You say, well, chapter 5 is negative. God does not erase the negative history from his book. I want to say that again. God has not erased the negative history from his book. He wanted us to learn from Samson and David and Abraham and a host of others. God wanted us to see their mistakes, so hopefully that we should not follow in the same footsteps. That's what history should teach us, the way things were, and be thankful for the way things are now. And so the fifth chapter of Acts is also there, but we're not there yet in our reference of this morning. The word power is something that I hope all of you can just key into in agreement with me today. You know, especially full gospel Pentecostals, I mean, we get fired up about that Acts 1:8. I do. We all do. It's something that's very near and dear to our hearts. But ye shall receive power. I'd like for the Lord to resurrect Brother R.W. Shambach to come back one more time and hear that man say, power. And the other word I'd like to hear him say is Holy Ghost. You know, that man just had a way of saying it. When it was said, it was said. Yeah, we all get fired up about the power, and we should get fired up about the power, because that word power is not just used in Acts 1:8. It's not just in Acts 1:8. It goes on through the book of Acts. It goes into the Pauline writings and epistles about the supernatural power of God. And you know what is needed to fully initiate this last day move of God is every one of us to reevaluate what we really have when we have the power. Oh yeah, you've got salvation, which is our passport to heaven. But let's bring some others with us. Let's see change in the land. And that word power, I don't even have time to give you all the meanings, but just a few of the surface meanings. Ye shall receive power. It's miraculous power. Miraculous power. Miraculous power. I think I've got to tell my barber joke again. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. My barber used to be up here on Sylvania. Joe and I just newly married. His name was Lonnie. And he was interesting character. One day I came in the barber shop and he said, "Preacher." And I said, yeah, Lonnie, what's the deal? He said, "I drove up somewhere over the weekend. I think it was Oklahoma." And he said, "You know what? That Buick Roadmaster I've got." I said, yeah. He said, "I was on the highway." And he said, "I thought everything was clear. And so I started around a couple of cars. And then I realized that there was another car that I didn't see. And then I looked up and here's a car coming from the other direction." And he said, "I thought it was all over." And he said, "I just pushed that accelerator to the floor." And he said, "That old Roadmaster," that's the four-hole deal, you know, some of you remember, you car guys. He said, that car just took on new life. And he said, it the engine roared and a surge of power came. And I barely made it. And I'm still alive. He said, "Preacher, what He said, do you think that was God? I said, well, not really, Lonnie. That was your passing gear. Now, it was God. I mean, God did his prayers. But you're with me. You understand what I'm saying? He said, what's that? I said, what you experienced. He said, well, why did I experience? I said, because you needed to. And you triggered what set off the power. And I wished I had the vocabulary to set off the power in every one of you that has received the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, because it's miraculous power. It's miracle power. It's power to do the impossible. It's power to see the impossible. It's power to receive the impossible. It's power. Supernatural power. Now, some of you still don't get it. You don't get it. You're not getting what I'm trying to say. He said, ye shall receive power. That little two-tone Roadmaster Buick. One day he said, you want to buy my car? I said, sure, I'll buy your car. Price is right, and I bought it. He said, I'm afraid to take another long trip in it. I bought it, drove it to Ohio, sold it to another preacher, drove it to Los Angeles three times to hold meetings out there. Says, best car he ever had. But the power is dormant until you get on it. The power is dormant until you believe it. The word of God is only a promise on a printed page until you believe it and activate it. But one verse of God has enough power to do anything if you'll just release your faith and lay hold on that promise. Because we don't use a fraction of what we think we know. It's not what you know up here. It's what you know in your spirit. It's faith power. I'm not making much progress this morning. Ye shall receive power. I've never taken an overseas mission trip in my life, but about halfway there in the air, I got this feeling, what in the world are you doing this for? Many times you didn't feel a thing. Some of the greatest miracles have come after you felt nothing, except you believed in the power. You activated the power of God. Oh, I know that. No, you really don't know it if you're not doing it. You really don't know it if you're not using it. You really don't know it if you're not releasing your power. And you say, well, that's preacher stuff. No. That's salesman stuff. That's labor stuff. I've done things physically. In our first beginning building, I couldn't do. There wasn't anyone there to help. I had to do something, push something, lift something, operate some piece of equipment that to me was impossible. But I said, in the name of Jesus. And God anointed me to do it. I've done some very strange things over a period of time. And that was the secret of Samson. Do you think Samson's secret was Gold's Gym? If they still have a gym, I don't know. It was the anointing of God. It was the anointing of God. It wasn't that he was Mr. Biceps. It wasn't that he was the strongest man that ever lived, though we put him in that category. It was the anointing of God. Because when the anointing was not there, he was weak as a kitten. And you know, it's the same thing with our lives here today. We can be supernaturally strong or we can be foolishly weak. It all depends on whether you embrace the power. I've had so many people say, what keeps you going? I'll tell you what keeps me going. I have my low times and I have my what about this, Lord, and what about them, and what about? But you see, when I release my faith in the power, the ability rises. And you really can, I really can, we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. One of the things that I've deeply appreciated about knowing our evangelist, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, is he's one of the most unusual men I've ever met in my life. I've watched him in so many different situations. If there's ever a man that has tapped in on faith and tapped in on the power and tapped in on letting God use him in a supernatural way, preachers can't do what that man does. Preachers can't travel where that man travels. People can't go overseas. You take one trip overseas and it takes you 2 weeks to get over it. You know? I mean, it's just repeatedly. Why? Because there's a need there, but there's also a dependency, a learned dependency on the power of God that will strengthen you when you're weak, that will help you when you're helpless, that will help finance you when the money's not there, that will bring health when the doctor says there's no hope. I tell you, there's a power that every one of us have. And I used a very carnal illustration about that Buick automobile. It was just a passing gear is what it was. But every one of you have something that's a million times stronger than the passing gear in that Buick automobile. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of Almighty God. Supernatural power. That makes you bigger than you really are. Wiser than you could ever be. Stronger than you have the ability to be. Supernatural power. Power to receive. There's a power to receive. Not only a power to do, but there's a power to receive. You see, there are two things that are working on you right now. Hey, he's just all fired up. Calm down. Everything's all right. You know, you don't have to get involved in all this. Go for it, you know. Or there's another power that says the man's telling you the truth. He's trying to stir up your spirit. He's showing you how to break through, showing you how to break out, showing you how to obtain what you really desire to see. And you keep moaning and groaning about, will I ever see it? No, you'll never see it until you tap into the power. You've got to tap into the power. It's got to come off the page. It's got to be more than a printed promise of God. It's got to be the power of God. Power. It's power to receive. Power to get wealth. Now listen, you know, and we've had some excellent teaching on, you know, the wealth of the world is laid up for the just, you know, all that. Let me tell you something. That ain't going to work for you, honey, if you don't listen to what I'm telling you this morning. I mean, no one's going to walk up and hand you $10 million just because they think you're good looking or you're handsome or whatever. It's not going to work that way. You've got to tap into the power. I know I'm out there. Come on, join me. You need this more than you need fried chicken. You need this more than you need a power nap this afternoon. Folks, there's a job to do. There's a job to do. That's why I brought this pulpit down from the International Prayer Center. When I found this pulpit, they were going to put it in the basement. get a plastic pulpit like all the other charismatic churches were having. I said, something about that pulpit. And then I found out about the history of it. Jonathan Edwards, powerful preacher of the Word of God that preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. But that's not all he preached. He preached a lot of positive type of messages too. Whatever he preached in his era, ministers who were affected by him, and in that era, 1/6 of the population of the United States of America came to Jesus. 1/6. Look at our world today. What are we at, 55 million we're talking about? So about 55, that would be equivalent today. If we're talking about a new awakening, if we're talking about a great revival in America, if we're talking about a great move toward God, we're talking about at least 55 million people. I said we're talking about at least 55. I brought this down to remind us, we don't worship wood. We don't worship this pulpit. That's not what I'm talking about. But it was significant to me that there was a time and there was an era when a man of God preached behind this piece of furniture. And it happened in different lives, in different churches, and in different outreaches. 1/6 of America was born again. Does that stir you? All this craziness. Listen, I've lived probably my share of life as much as anyone in this room here today. I've never seen America as crazy as it is today. We've taken God out of schools. We've taken Jesus out of schools. We've taken the Bible out of schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of schools. We've taken purity out of schools. We don't know which bathroom to use. America is nuts outside of God. How are we going to get the train back on the track? The most helpless thing in the world is a train derailed off the track. It's going nowhere. And that's exactly what's happening in our nation on so many. How are we going to get the train back on the track? Somebody got to believe the Word of God. Somebody's got to believe that God said what he meant and meant what he said. And someone's got to believe it enough to put cash on the table. And someone's got to believe it enough to pray more and preach more and witness more and shout it from the housetops, Jesus saves. I'm stirred this morning. I'm stirred. I'm stirred. Power. So really, as I look at the book of Acts, I thought I'd pretty well exhausted 4 chapters, and I haven't even started. I mean, in this, what I have to say, and I'll continue when Brother Rodney's gone on, by the grace of God. First of all, there was power needed. You know why power was needed? Jesus is going away. This is the last thing he said in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8. And he, after he got through saying this, he was gone. Jesus going away. Now, they've had him with them 3 years. They've been in his Bible college. They followed him. They ate loaves and fishes. They've seen his miracles. They've seen the awesome works of God. They've seen the glory of God come down in a way that was indescribable. But he's leaving. He's gone. Oh, my God. We had him for 3 years, but where did he go? But he said, listen, children, I've got something that's better than my being with you. I've got something that's better than you being able to be with me here in this prayer meeting. I've got something that's better than seeing signs, wonders, and miracles from my hand. It's time they start happening from your hands. It's time you start being the outreach. It's time you stop calming the storm. It's time you start doing the works of God. And the only way you're going to be able to do that, you know me, but the only way you're going to be able to do that is to somehow believe that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not just power to speak with tongues, Not just power to run the aisles, not just power to do something, whatever that something may be. But folks, it all comes down to doing it. We got to reach a world. We have a world on fire. Our nation's just this far from Smith and Wesson. Do you understand that? We're just about that far. You say, don't get negative. No, I'm not getting negative. I'm just telling you the truth. And the answer to the mess that our nation is in is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. Same word, power. I don't have time to go into all the words power. Dunamis, supernatural power. Power to activate God's promises. Power to be consistent. It's so troubling. You look around and so many people have such potential. They have such financial potential. They have personality potential. They have giftings. They have all kind of stuff. But I've never seen the body of Christ as restless as it is right now. It's hard to know what to count on anywhere, anything, anyone. Almost. Thank God we have a core here at Calvary who have been faithful uphill, downhill, on, off, up, down, good times, bad times. But there's a fire that's burning in my heart. There's a world that needs Jesus. There's a nation that needs Jesus. The Metroplex needs Jesus. The Metroplex needs Jesus. We're sports crazy. We go here, go there. The least little thing keeps us out of the house of God for a given period of, well, this happened, that happened. You got somebody near death, why everybody rallies, and then all of a sudden everything drops by the wayside. We got a world on fire. We got a world on fire. We've got a world on fire. That's why we have a Christian school next door. If there's ever a time every one of our Christian school teachers need to be on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost and in the house of God, it's now. But I look around, I see people that have such care. There's people that could help us lift our hands. There's people that could help me right now. But I look for them and they just left. I'm not on a kick for that this week, but I'm just telling you, there are so many people that could make a difference if they just would. Man, I'd give anything to be super wealthy and find a guy like me. I'd like to find a preacher like me. I'd like to find I know my heart. I know my zeal. I know my vision. I know my dreams. Amen. I'd like to find somebody like me and help finance him. I'd just love to do it. Mama. All right. Power needed. Number two, power promised. I've been working on that for a while this morning. Power promised. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on. Now what are we going to do? Just blow the horn? We're just going to tote our Bible every once in a while? We're just going to say hallelujah louder than someone else? What are we going to do with this power? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. I know he said disciple, but he screamed witness louder than he screamed disciple. I just said something very strong there. I heard somebody on television the other day just knocking anybody that would witness, you know, what we need to do is discipleship. That's all. Well, disciple, yes, we got to do it. Got to do it. I'm for it 1,000%. But you got to catch a fish before you clean a fish. We need to reach a world. We've got to reach a world. You go over to India. You go to the mass crusades that have been held in years gone by. You can't get a grip on everybody that comes in, but you can tell them about Jesus. And one day you'll meet them walking the streets of gold. They may not have known much, but they knew enough to get into heaven. They found Jesus. All right. Power given. But you know, power was given by God, but the power must be released. There's a man at Gate Beautiful. We all have a man at Gate Beautiful, don't we? I've got a man at Gate Beautiful at home. Everywhere you go, there's somebody at Gate Beautiful. Everywhere you go, there's somebody helpless, hopeless. Can't help themselves. They don't know what to do. They're broke. They're destitute. They're sick. They're paralyzed. Their life isn't working for them. God called us to make a difference. God called us to make a difference. So they're on the way to the prayer meeting. Thank God, Peter and John, and said, well, God bless you, brother. Now, I know there's always somebody panhandling, and we get our share of that around here. But I'm talking about real, genuine need. Everybody understands. That doesn't mean you have to give to everybody on a street corner out here on the freeway. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God help. I'm talking about God help. You can give a fish or teach them how to fish, one of the two. But I look at this man on the way to the prayer meeting. He said, alms, alms, alms. And Peter looked down. He said, silver and gold have I not. I don't know if he was flat broke or he was trying to tell him what you really need. I don't. You really need what I have, but you don't need what you think you need. You need my Lord. You need his miracle working power. You know what they said? They said, look on us. Look on us. Look on us. And Peter reached down with his right hand and gave him a hand up, and they went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. I don't have time to, I'm going to have to finish this on another occasion, but there was the power that accelerated. That may be as far as I can get on it this morning. So the power is needed. I believe we're all in agreement on that. Wouldn't you love to just see about 80% of America saved by next Sunday? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And you know something else? When I had these surgeries, you know, I had to sit still, and I had to keep my foot, my leg, you know, up in the air and so on. I've probably watched more television in the last 2 or 3 years than I've watched in a long time of necessity. Oh, I say necessity. But you know, it's amazing. We're taught through the gazoo. In Christian television, we've got 18 things for this and 8 things for that and 5 things for this and 4 things for that. So help me God, in listening to 2 days of Christian television, switching stations constantly, trying to catch what I'm talking to you about, I didn't hear one honest altar call like we heard this morning. Not one. Boy, you out there this morning, preacher? Yeah? No, I'm telling you the truth. Somebody's got to start winning souls. Someone's got to start telling people how to come to Jesus. Amen. I'm not getting much traction on that one, eh? There was the power released, of course, but then there was the power accelerated. You know, after this miracle, persecution set in, and the church really now began to pray. And you know what they prayed? They said, oh God, get our preachers in more trouble than they have ever been in their lifetime. Lord, behold their threatenings. The 4th chapter of Acts, verse 29. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Hey, they were praying for their preachers. It's amazing what happens when you pray for your preacher. Poor pray, poor preach. Powerful prayer, powerful, more powerful preach. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. I said the place was shaken. You say, why? Probably just to get their attention. Would this get our attention if this whole building started jailhouse rock today? You know, just a whole lot of shaking going on. You'd say, my Lord, what's happening? The place was shaken. I don't know. Let God explain that later on. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I submit to you that no one's church, no preacher, no audience in any church could successfully finish a nice Sunday morning if everybody was full of the Holy Ghost. Really? Power was accelerated. Now, wait a minute. If the power of 1:8 is miraculous power, miracle power, power to get money, power to do the impossible, power to do anything, the anointing of God that breaks every yoke. And now the Bible tells us with great power. Now they got great power. Lord, I'm in more than I can get out of this morning. I mean, Acts 1:8's enough. But now they got great power. Double portion. You know one thing I appreciate about Elisha? He respected the anointing. He recognized the anointing. He respected the anointing. When it was about to wind up as far as Elijah here on earth, he said, I want a double portion of what you have. I thank God for the times I've been able to say that in the right time and the right place. Because when you desire the double, God will give it. When you desire, what are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with the power you have? Are you ready for Acts chapter 4? With great power, with double portion power. Whew. With great power, great power, great power. Oh, with great power. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Whew. Boy, that knocks division and strife and yeah, and gossiping and all that stupid stuff that runs through too many church situations. They were in one mind, one accord. And they saw signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for great power. I don't know if I've mastered Acts 1:8 power, but I'm still after great power. The prophet of God said, if you see me when I'm taken away, oh, well, I've got a lot of things I need to do. Could you text me when you're ready to go away, and I'll try to find you. He said, I'm going to Jericho. I'm going here. I'm going there. Not without me. Not without me. No, I'm after that anointing. You going where? I'm going with you. You want me to rest? No, I feel good. I'm okay. I'm with you. I'm all in. I'm in the tank. I want the double portion. You say, I got to see you when you're taken away? I'm going to sleep right by your side here. You're not making a move without me knowing what's going on. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'm going to track you. I'm going to be a part of what's going on. Hallelujah. 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 I don't have any other fish to fry that are more important than more of God. Amen. No more fish to fry. Nothing else to do. Nothing else going on. Went out to a ball game the other day. It's my first in, I think, 4 years. It's the craziest bunch I've been around, and I don't know when. I think they're from another planet or something. Strange. You know, that's not my world. I like a good clean ball game. Hey, I'm not against sports. Don't get me wrong. I'm not weird. But I like God more. Hallelujah. I can have more fun in church than three bears in a honey jar. I'm telling you. Praise God. Just let me be where the anointing is. Let me be where the power of God is. Let me be where the presence of God is. Let me see signs, wonders, and miracles. We've got the power. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Now, I hope you don't take what I've preached this morning in condemnation, because it's not. It's just a preacher's heart that's in overflow right now. And I know the only thing that's going to change our nation is not the Republicans or the Democrats. I mean, everybody needs a good spanking, it seems like, in Washington. It seems like they just need to be turned out to pasture and bring David in from the sheepfold or something. That may be what's already happened. Who knows? But anyway, we need some fresh blood, not only in Washington, but we need it in every one of our churches. Hallelujah. 1/6 of America comes to God in the era that this pulpit was preached over. That'd be around 55 million today. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? 1/6 of America would be about 55 million. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I dropped the plow too deep. I'm sorry. I dropped the plow too deep. But I'm telling you what I'm preaching today, something I'm saying this morning is going to have to register in every one of our hearts to see this world changed. Something I'm preaching, some part of what I'm preaching this morning. I've dropped several bombs this morning and I realize it. And every one of these, I'm hungry for myself. I'm hungry to see a move of God. Hallelujah. Some folks a few years ago, they tried to get me to join the Caleb Club. I wasn't old enough to qualify. But I looked at all the folks in the Caleb Club, and they were all they were all tired. I said, excuse me, I got fish to fry. I got things to do. I got some preaching I still got to finish. I need more than just sitting around singing precious memories. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like what Dr. Lester Sumrall used to say. God, please don't do anything today without letting me be a part of it. I want to be a part of what God's doing. If I'm not right in the middle of it, I want to be not far from it. Anybody stirred here today? Anybody stirred? Anybody stirred? Father, let your fire, let it burn. Stir us up, Lord. Heal any marriage that's in the middle of hurt. Oh, God, bring any prodigal son, daughter, father, or mother back to the Father's house. Oh, God, set our church more strongly on fire than ever before. Let the river flow. Let the rain fall. Hallelujah. Sheila Bohoraka. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. The power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. power to heal, power to receive finances, power to heal broken relationships, power to heal bondages, power. Oh, Father, with great power the apostles gave witness, with great power. Let the greater power begin in this house in a stronger way today, Father. Lord, there are people all over this metroplex that say they're hungry for God, but they're not doing anything about it. Not doing anything about it. There's people all over this metroplex that need to be on fire for God. Father, I'm asking you, I've seen the torch burn. There's one thing that cannot be erased from my heart, what I saw God do in our church in 1993. I know it can happen. You can't tell me it can't happen. I was in the middle of what it was doing. Oh God, you raised this church up. You've kept us through fire. You've kept us through tornadoes. You've kept us through craziness. You've kept us through. You've kept us through. Lord, I just pray that you just touch every precious heart in this room today. Oh God, let the fire of God burn. Those that are watching, that are not in this service today, that tell me that the messages are changing their life, I speak God change into your life. Father, I thank you. God, we just pray over our evangelists as they fly in this afternoon. Let the fire of God burn. Give them safe flights in. And I thank you tonight's going to be hallelujah. You know, I'd like about 4 or 5 minutes of intercession here in this front area.